Time now for Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Now, here's their host, Warren Franklin.
Welcome to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence. We have another great show lined up today. You're always welcome to call Mariah or Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group to discuss anything about real estate. Their number is 503-507-3666. So let's get the show started today, and we're going to discuss something really fun, I think. Real estate terms.
We are doing a Real Estate 101 today on language. So unfortunately, these are things that aren't taught in school, even though I think that they definitely should be. And we're just going to cover a ton of terminology that we believe everyone needs to know about, especially if you are thinking about buying, selling, or investing in real estate at any time. So you're definitely going to want to listen until the end.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to language and terminology, when it comes to real estate, is you have to experience it and you have to live it. It's one of those things where I revert back to when I was in real estate school and actually taking that test. And yeah, of course, I had name cards and practice on, you know, how we do in school, how to remember vocabulary. Mm-hmm. But you don't actually know what it means until you've lived it, whether you've sold a home personally, whether you're a new agent and you're still working on these terms. Everything that we're going to be listening and saying today is going to be listed in a real estate contract for the most part. And that's why it's pretty crucial for realtors out there, but also paying you viewers out there that are listening to this. So you're on top of it and have some type of knowledge on what's going on around you in the transaction.
Yeah, this is huge. These are things, if they're not in the contract, you're definitely going to be hearing and dealing with these words and these terms, and it's in your best interest to really have these down.
I have found over the times that I've signed contracts, mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, what is all of this? I mean, it's overwhelming for a person that's just buying the home.
Yeah,
to see it. Yeah, it really
because
is.
It can seem like a foreign language if you've never been around mm-hmm. these terms before. It can a lot, you know, just reading all these terms, so... Yeah. We're going to dive into it.
Well, before we really dive into it, I want to ask Mariah, what's going on in your world right now? I kind of want to talk to you a little bit before we just go into vocabulary.
Oh, okay.
What's going on in Mariah's world? I'm a little impromptu right now.
Well, as you know, if you've been listening to our show, we currently are in the process of selling our house. And so we have the appraisal coming up this week. We had the inspections and the buyers didn't ask for anything.
No.
Surprisingly.
Inspection free.
Yeah. I was really shocked. Yeah. But you know what? That's the market that we're in. The buyers are definitely in the begging position. So that's kind of biggest thing that's going on right now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What about you?
Well, I'm really proud of the Oregon Wrestling Association, believe it or not. I don't know if you guys know this out there, but I'm an assistant wrestling coach at Cascade High School. My brother and I both are actually, we got the Crawford brothers in the room, and we are practicing Monday through Friday and preparing for that state tournament. This year it was a cut season, though, because of the epidemic. But one really cool and encouraging thing that a lot of people might not know within the community is Cascade's a 4A school, and we actually get to host the 4A state championships for wrestling at Cascade High School, which is really cool. And that's like a historical moment. It might never happen again. Usually states held at Memorial Coliseum up in Portland that hosts 1A through 6A, but this will just be the 4A division coming to Cascade High School. And, I'm really excited about that, personally.
That's really awesome. That's mm-hmm. super cool, especially with everything that's gone on. That's really cool that they're still doing that. Another kind of random thing, but good news for you, if you own a house in South Salem, your value is probably going to go up because they're building a Costco, I just found out, off of Kubler. So I didn't even realize
I don't live very far from there either.
Yeah. Good for all of us that live in South Salem.
You can see the ground's all turned up and everything is looking like they're making
really
a lot of progress.
Yeah.
They go up quick. They go up quick,
Okay, so getting into our vocab, the first word is equity. So this is the difference between what you owe on your mortgage and what your home is currently worth.
Mm-hmm. So say I owe $100,000 and I sell it for $350,000. Well, you have $250,000 in equity. That's going to be money coming into your pocket out of the close of escrow.
When you sell. Absolutely. Escrow. So this is basically the 30 to 90-ish day period, probably closer to, what are we seeing right now?
45 to 50
is what we're seeing right now. But it's the period where the title is being swapped. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. You get your inspection done during this time. You get the appraisal. But for you as a buyer and a seller, really just a lot of waiting. But it's the time between when you get your offer accepted and you get the keys to the home.
And an escrow is usually held in an office. I just want to let people know the escrow office that I do the majority of my transactions with is at Tycor Title. With Sarah Geddes. She's a beautiful, amazing escrow officer, and she gets the job done.
Yes.
So thank you, Sarah Geddes, for taking on all of our transactions.
So how much is escrow? How much money is put into escrow?
Yeah, so generally that earnest money, which, are, excuse me, not the earnest money,
costs.
But closing costs, we will be discussing that a little later on, what all that entails. Usually it's prorated taxes, escrow fees, and stuff like that that goes into the title and handling fees.
So real property versus personal property. This isn't really talked about a lot.
It isn't, but it is in real estate school.
Yeah, unless you've been in real estate school, you probably haven't really heard the terminology.
So when you come to a real estate transaction, there's a portion of it that's what personal property items are left behind. Usually personal property means think about this. Imagine it. If you're removing something from the property, is it creating damage to the structure, removing the integrity, or just completely destroying the space? Imagine that. So is a light fixture personal property or a fixture?
It's real property.
Because
it can't be moved. It's immovable. Yes.
Okay.
But that's why, say there's a manufactured home that's in a park that is not on its own land. So you own the home, but not the land. You pay space rent. In that case, the home is actually personal property, not real property.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact.
So real property is immovable.
Land.
A refrigerator
house.
Would be
personal property.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can remove it.
So because of that, if you, as the buyer, wanted to make sure that the fridge stayed in the home, you'd have to write it up in the contract and not just assume that it would stay.
Yes.
Mortgage is the next term.
A mortgage is, so imagine your rent. It's $1,200 for you to live there. So your mortgage is, you don't actually own the home completely. You can put an X amount dollars down on the home. So say it costs you $100,000 as a sale price. You put $50,000 down. Well, you still owe $50,000 to the lender, who gets into an appraisal, and we'll go over that here in a little bit. But your mortgage is usually going to include your property taxes and home insurance. And that is what's going to get you your 30-year amortization once you do take out that mortgage. And that's going to come into your monthly payment. So your mortgage, in a sense, just simply put, is your monthly payment.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, generally speaking, is going to include your mortgage insurance, which gets deleted if you put over 20% down, and your taxes that are included for your property to be on.
Yep.
All right. Are we going to take a break?
Let's do it.
It's time to take a break. We want to remind you, you can always get in touch with Brian Spence at the Vetrix Crawford Realty Group by calling 503-507-3666. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah and Spence with the Vetrix Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. Let's continue our conversation about real estate terms.
Appraisal is the next real estate term.
Well, why is an appraisal so necessary, you think, Mariah?
So when you get a loan, the lender is going to order an appraisal because they want to make sure that they're not lending more than the home is worth.
Yeah, you'd basically be a fool if you're in a business to be overpaying for something. Now, of course,
your
borrower is giving you interest, but not everybody. The reason they are, though, is because they're actually willing, personally, this is appraiser aside, they're willing to pay for over that appraisal amount in cold, hard cash.
Yes.
But they're doing it knowingly.
Yeah. So when we get in markets like this, it's a very scary world. But we got to do what it takes to find a home, right? And if we're being outbidded every time and it's due to us not going over appraisal value, and this is the only way we can get a home, we got to do what it takes. And it's not like your home is actually going to, I mean, if you can't afford that mortgage, then of course we got to be more responsible. And I mentioned that in previous shows, we got to be responsible in a home purchase. But if you can afford your mortgage and you have the extra funds from it, and this is the home you really want to be in, then that's what we got to do.
Right. And right now, anything in the 400s and under, it's difficult to get an offer accepted without going over the appraisal. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, you better put your fists up with some boxing gloves and get ready to get in the ring and battle.
Have to accept that's how it's going to be. Yeah.
No, it's also, you got to do just like one offer. You don't have a chance to come back for a second, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah, because if there's multiple offers, they're not going to be doing countering, you know, like they used to last year.
Right.
It used to be a normal thing.
So you kind of got to get it right the first time.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Got to give your best shot the first time. Mm-hmm. The next term is landlord.
Landlord. What I think of when I hear this term is my grandma, actually, because her and my grandpa, they're in that landlord business. They have a ton of rentals, had a ton of rentals, and when they come vacant, they sell it for sale by owner, by the way. that's generally what they do. They have used me once on a deal, which I was totally blessed and grateful for. But landlords is the owner of the property if you are the tenant, the rentee. And so you are paying your rent, say $1,200. Well, out of that $1,200, an X amount of sum goes to the landlord, depending if they have a mortgage still on the property, they got to pay their taxes, stuff like that. So that is the landlord, the actual owner of the real property you might be leasing or renting from.
Cash flow. What is that?
Cash flow. So I like to visualize this because I love visualizing money sometimes. Imagine a river. Okay, the Santiam River, it's always flowing water, always flowing constantly. And so it never ends. And that is what I think of when I think of cash flow. I never want, and the word cash is in it for a reason. I never want the money to run dry, because if we run dry, we can't pay our bills. We can't pay our mortgage. We can't pay our employees. And so that's why it's really important in business is to have great cash flow. The money coming in monthly, the river that keeps on flowing, the things that just will not stop. Now, once a river gets dry, things dry up and fish and the wildlife will die, right? Mm-hmm. So same with the cash. The business will die without cash flow. And that's why it's really important for people like ourselves, Mariah and I, to have consistent cash flow, because if we're not, our pipeline's dry and I can't pay my bills. And that's why people out there, I'm a commission-based guy. Mm-hmm. I only get paid if the sale closes. And so I have an obligation. I got a priority to do. And that's why I'm so motivated to get your home listed on the market, but at the highest sales price I can to put money in your pocket with that commission involved. That's why it's key for us to be marketing professionals for you.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous explanation. Interest.
Interest.
So I guess a good way to think of it is, say you're buying a house for $400,000 and you're putting $100,000 down. So you are going to ask the bank or your lender, whoever that is, to give you $300,000, well, not give you, to lend you, and you're going to pay them back with your monthly payment, which is your mortgage, but they're not going to give it to you for free, because why would they do that? So that's the interest, is what you're going to be paying on top of the payment.
And this is factored in usually over a 30-year fixed amortized loan. Mm-hmm. Some people are doing 15-year mortgages, but for the majority of you, it's going to be over a 30-year amortized loan. Mm-hmm. And that's what that interest is factored into.
Refinancing. What's that?
Refinancing. We did this, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
2 years ago?
About a year.
If you haven't refinanced yet over the last, I mean, even if you looked into it over a year ago, maybe relook into it. I've had multiple people refinance multiple times now, just because our interest rate, we're at a 3.175, you know. That's still historically low. Yes, we're not in the 2% anymore.
And it has gone up.
It has gone up
interest
slowly.
Interest rates have gone up.
Well, my pre-approval just over the last 2 weeks went up 0.15%. You know, it's very minimal. But it has slowly escalated. But when you refinance, the whole goal is to drop your mortgage, what you owe. Usually the rule of thumb is $100. If you're breaking $100 or more a month, then it's generally going to be worth it. But keep in mind, every time you refinance, you're going to have added closing costs to the top of your loan.
So it's got to be worth it.
So in some markets, it's not worth it. But right now, We are in a seller's equity rich market. Your neighborhood, the appraisal value, because in a refinance, it's basically you just repurchasing your home, mm-hmm. just not with another buyer. So an appraisal has to take place. And that's when you can even do like a secondary mortgage, take out money to maybe do a remodel. There's all sorts of things you can do when you refinance your home, which is very valuable as an asset for you to be a homeowner. And that is one thing that I love about being a homeowner is we can take our current asset, maybe we bought 3 years ago, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and we have generated wealth just sitting there, making our mortgage, obviously, but every mortgage payment gets your owings down, mm-hmm. so you gain more equity. And if we're in markets like we are today, man, you're walking away with sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars over an amount of 2 years, just 2 years. Mm-hmm. People have gained hundreds of thousands of dollars. That sounds a lot better than a good piggy bank to me.
Yeah. It sounds like a good way, if you're smart, to be able to invest in some other things that might actually appreciate faster than the home.
Of course. Definitely. Yeah. Of course. Mm-hmm. So that is the really cool part about refinancing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Real Estate with Mariah Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about real estate terms.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah and Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can call them at 503-507-3666. And we're going to continue our conversation about real estate terms.
The next real estate term is as is. So maybe you're a home buyer and you've been looking through homes and you see that in the listing description, it says the home is being sold as is in all caps. Basically, what that means is the seller is stating up front, I'm not going to do any repairs if something comes up on the inspection report. And quite frankly, in this market that we're in, they don't have to because, like I said earlier, the buyers are in the begging position. But I do know as a realtor, when I come across this on a listing, a lot of times it gets me thinking, okay, what's wrong with the home? If I see the term as is, I think like, is there something wrong with it? Is maybe should we skip past it? And that's not always the case. But you know, it might not always the best idea to put in there.
All right. So I got a question. When you see that, can you still order an inspection to find out what's wrong with it?
Absolutely. You can still get an inspection. They're just stating up front, we don't want to do anything.
What I always say is get under contract. We have our inspection period. Usually I do a 12-day inspection period. It gives you just over 2 weeks. But whenever I see as is, it's usually coming from like a for sale by owner.
A lot of times.
Yeah. And it's not a cheap way, but it's more of a greed way.
Yeah.
Reason they're being for sale by owner, they want to save a commission. I get that. But oftentimes they're still overpricing their home because they're wanting to sell for the price and pay no commission. Mm-hmm. So that's something to just be wary of. And a lot of times, a real estate transaction is relational. And if we're only working with the for sale by owner, I have to be communicating with this for sale by owner literally every week. And if they're non-responsive, mm-hmm. unapproachable, not being willing to work with, then we're going to have a harder transaction here. So
that is
just something to think about. When we are dealing with those type of people, not saying if your listing says sold as is, it's a bad listing by any means.
It does raise red flags.
It raises red flags. It raises my eyebrow at least.
Yeah.
Ask questions.
Yeah. Okay. So the next two I'm going to bundle in together because they are two that I often see confused by buyers, first time buyers usually, mm-hmm. and that is down payment and earnest money deposit. So your down payment, you don't pay until you sign the papers to close, or basically when you close on the home, that's when you pay the down payment. Mm-hmm. The earnest money deposit is a check that you write to the title company, and it sits at the title company until closing, basically just to show that you're serious. And it does go toward your down payment. It goes toward the cost of the home at closing. So it's not like your earnest money on top of the down payment, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
So how much is earnest money?
The rule of thumb, 1% of the sales price. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to do. Generally, if you're doing a common residential house, 350 or under, you're probably doing like $3,000. For us, our offer we just put down, I put $20,000.
Can you lose your earnest money?
One thing we did not cover yet is sales contracts are really written in favor of the buyers.
Yeah, there's a lot of outs.
There's a lot of outs.
Yeah.
Not saying you won't ever lose your earnest money, but one key, though, being represented by a broker, whether you are a seller or a buyer, is that your earnest money is usually going to be able to be refundable, but my job is to make it so you always have a way out. And that's whether you're a seller or a buyer. It's writing in a contract, you have a way out. But fortunately, as a buyer, you have a way out basically the day before it closes, because if your funding falls through, it's actually written in contract that you are not at fault, and you get your earnest money back and you move on.
Yeah. So if it's not your fault, if it's a lending issue, then it's technically
all right,
not
but
your
fault. If all of a sudden you find another house and you say,
yes,
I'm moving on to that house, you could lose your earnest money then.
You could if you're still in your inspection period.
You wouldn't.
You still have an inspection
period.
But
if it's like a week before closing, you would.
Okay.
And I think you should, because it puts the seller in a really bad position.
Well, that's the whole idea, is
you're creating
the seller
damages
from being in trouble, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. HOA is the next one.
This is a good one for us to cover because we're in a townhouse.
Right now, we have an HOA fee.
An HOA has a fee.
Uh-huh.
Some just common neighborhoods have HOAs that are community run. Ours has an actual property management company. Usually, your HOA fee will include something, whether it's incentive to keep your neighborhood a growing, active community. For resale value, I look at it as a good way to keep your resale value. Usually they have stipulations like, hey, keep your yard mowed, keep your garbage out of sight. For us, for instance, our fee gets all of our exterior maintenance taken care of. That's all lawn care, sprinklers, exterior paint, roofing, that type of stuff.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. So it's worth it to me in the long run. It's very turnkey. I pay someone to do it. I don't want to do it myself if that's your situation. But there's some just common residential homes that have like a $40 a month HOA fee. And that's just basically to keep your community within check.
Yeah. Sometimes they're even less than that. And it just keeps it clean. Someone sweeps the floors for you or the streets for you. So I don't think it's that bad of a thing. But,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's do one more and then we'll get to the tip of the week.
Okay.
Due diligence.
Due diligence.
That's a good one.
This is a good one. I mean, especially if you're buying like bare land or looking to build in the future, you'll see some listings just say buyer due diligence, own due diligence. Mm-hmm. That means it's on you to figure out these questions, whether it's county related, city related. Can you put a sewer on the property? Can you put a well in? How
can you build
deep
on it?
Can you build?
Mm-hmm.
Can it be dividable?
Mm-hmm.
All of these things, it's basically stating, do your due diligence, do your research necessarily with the county, with the city, with your broker. And that's why it's really important to be represented by a broker in those sales, especially.
Our real estate tip of the week is geared toward a home seller or anyone selling their home, and that is exaggerations in listings only disappoint and will not help your home sell faster. If you are a home seller, I encourage you to be as truthful and honest and transparent about your home in the listing description and in the photos. Exaggerating or hiding something in the listing photos that may be a big deal is only going to lead to you getting a ton of showings from buyers who probably won't even like your home in the first place. Trust me, in this market, your home is going to sell no matter what. It is best to disclose everything up front to save you and the buyer time.
That's a really good tip.
That was a great tip. I like that. Good stuff. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. You can hear their show every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. You can contact Mariah and Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group at 503-507-3666. That's 503-507-3666.
You've been listening to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence right here on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.